You wanted to get quick information about the weekly Sabbath school lesson? Well, you're nearly there. Just press the button and you will get important key information about the weekly theme. Easy to understand. Short inversion. 5 minutes each day. 30 minutes each week. You will be well prepared for Sabbath in church. Your friends will be astonished about your knowledge. The promise, God's everlasting covenant. How can it be that the Most High of the universe is willing to make a covenant with you? How can it happen that a relationship with your Creator may succeed? Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The promise, God's everlasting covenant. Lesson 7, Covenant at Sinai. Our memory text for this week, we read in Exodus 19, verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. On eagle's wings. What a parable. On eagle's wings. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. When Moses came to Pharaoh for the first time and told him, God, the Almighty, has visited me in the thorn bush. And he told me to come to you and to tell you, let my people go. Pharaoh, he said, God. Who is God? I am God. Your God, I do not know. And I am not willing to obey your God. I am God for you. Go on working. I will not let you go. And Moses prayed to God and said, that's just what I have told you at the thorn bush. Therefore, I refused in the first moment to go. It's without sense. It doesn't work. I knew it. And now that's the proof. He said, back to work. You are my slaves, and you will build for me. Dip, 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 dip. That was the problem. How? How can you change the heart of Pharaoh? And then the first plague fell, and the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh, and the eighth, and the ninth, and then the tenth plague came. The death of the firstborn son of Pharaoh. Whew. And this made a difference. Now, the plague came to the house of Pharaoh, and that changed his mind. This was important. All families had lost their firstborn, but it was now with the king. Normally, only the poor ones, they experience harm and all these poor things. But now the king is confronted. And then the Israelites hear the words, "Go!" And Moses was told beforehand, "This very night, he will allow you to leave Egypt, leaving bondage." And God tells them, remember what I did to the Egyptians. Because when the Israelites were at the Red Sea, here a mountain range, there a mountain range, in front of them the Red Sea, and behind them the Egyptians, yes, the Egyptians, they came to take them back. The Pharaoh had changed his mind. Now what to do now? And when the sea was divided that they could go through, and when the Egyptians wanted to go through, they experienced the water coming back, and no one could get out of this sea. "I've brought you here on eagle's wings." They should never forget that. The baton of salvation. We read in Exodus 6, the verses 6 and 7. "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment." So these were the words Moses had to tell the Israelites before they got the words, "Go! I will let you go." And it needed 10 plagues that they were allowed to leave the bondage of Egypt. And beforehand, these words were told to the Israelites through Moses. "I will bring you out. I will do so. I will. I will. I will. And I will take you," when they have been released from bondage, "I will take you for my people." So this is something very fine for your soul, isn't it? "And I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." And they should remember this time and again, time and again, time and again. They should remember this. You were brought out from bondage by the Almighty God. What could you have done? And this is an important story for our deliverance from bondage. We are slaves, as the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. "What? I'm not a slave." Of course you are. You are a slave. A slave of your sins. And you cannot get out of it by yourself. You need someone from outside. You need the ruler of the universe. He's the only one who can free you from this bondage of your sins. And if you start trusting him, believing in him, then it will work. If you start loving him. And without that, it will not work. Never, ever. It did not work with the Israelites without love and trust. And it will not work with you. We need love and trust. And therefore he did everything for us that love will be seen in him and that we will show love as a reaction of his love. Now when we look at this pattern of salvation, we have texts in the New Testament which show us what salvation really is. If we have a look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, we discover we couldn't have done anything for that. In Revelation 5, we look into the center of the universe. And there we see the following. There's the Father on the throne and the Lamb. And we hear the 24 elders singing a new song in verse 9, saying, "You are worthy to take the book." No one was able to take the book out of the hands of the Holy Father. No one. Only the Lamb, only Jesus Christ. "For you were slain, therefore you were able to open the seals of this book. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." By your blood. This was the important part of the Lamb. It paid the price. He paid the price for us. And for those who don't see the value, they will see Jesus as the lion who will devour them. Either you're confronted with the Lamb who was slain for you, or with the lion. It's your choice. Either or. This is the pattern of salvation. You're a slave. You cannot deliver yourself from bondage. He has done it for you. And if you say thank you, and you ask for forgiveness, then you have the chance to be saved because of his plan of salvation for you. It's a plan of redemption. He wants to save you. And he has done everything for that. You have only to answer to see the worth, the value in it. That's so important. The Sinai Covenant. When we look at the happenings there at Mount Sinai, oh, there's so much. Moses is invited to climb up the mountain. and all the people, they were not allowed to come close to the foot of the mountain. No animal was allowed to go there. Only Moses and his servant, they were allowed to appear up there in front of God. Now, this covenant, there were so many dreadful things for the people to see. There was an earthquake, and there were volcanic eruptions. Oh, it was great to see it. It was, oh, they thought we will not survive. And then the sound, it was so loud. So they shivered with cold. They were afraid. Oh, what a mighty God. He's the one who created everything. So he's able to produce an earthquake, of course. And that the people can see how a volcano works. They could see it. And they were full of fear. And all these signs of the Almighty God helped to form this answer. We will do everything. We will do everything what he wants us to do. But it did not come out of love and trust. It was produced out of fear. And they were so shocked because of all these signs they could see there at Mount Sinai. And when we look at all these happenings there in our lesson book, we have here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 points which happened. And the most important, point 5, proclamation of the 10 commandments. Imagine, when we look at the books of law in the states of this world, these are books, thickest. And they grow and grow and grow, and more laws and laws and laws and laws and new laws, and there is no end in making laws. And if you study law, you will have a problem. When you think you have finished studying the laws, when you have done your exams and saying, yes, well, now I'm a judge or whatever, you have to go on studying the laws your lifetime, because new laws are produced every time and again. And God's law, 10 points. Only 10, so that you can remember them when you use your fingers. And if people followed these 10 points, life would be different. Social life, the quality of life, everything. 10 points. But the devil started to change. One he dismissed. You shall have no gods than me. You should not bow down in front of an idol. And the Sabbath law, which was changed to the Sunday law. These two, the devil changed. And this will be the final debate in the final phase of this planet. God and Israel, I read from Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, this is the condition, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people on this planet Earth. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. Moses was told by God before the Pharaoh had said, you are allowed to leave. Go! And only a few hours afterwards he decided, oh, I'm a fool. Why have I let them go? And he gathered together his army and they followed the Israelites with their chariots and horses. Now when we read this, we see it's strange. You shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. We can't believe what is written here. Only if you will obey my voice. If you trust me, if you love me, if you follow me, if you will obey my voice, then you will get all of these blessings. It was simply great, great. And we know, if we go on reading, it worked only for not even for 40 days. Not even 40 days they were able to do what they had said they will do. They said, we will follow everything. All these words, they put it like this. And all the people, verse 18, chapter 19, answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And what happened 40 days afterwards? When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and there was a feast on, and they had made a golden ox and said, this is your God. This God has brought you out of Egypt. Crazy. Crazy. How can that be? In 40 days. So even shorter, they had already made a feast, and they had already needed some time to produce this golden ox. So, what for? Why? A month without Moses, a month without God. And we are not better, aren't we? We are in trouble, and he helps us to come out, to get out of trouble. And a few days afterwards, forgotten. Another problem, and we go anywhere. And he still is full of patience with us. How long will that patience continue with us? How long? That's the question. It will not go on like this. There will be a final phase, a final one. We are close to the end game, close as never before. And it's high time to take time to study God's word, to be together with him, that we understand the Israelites they were not able to obey because they missed something. Trust and love for God. Promises, promises. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, the first two verses. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Oh, the word preached did not profit them. Why not? And the Apostle Paul, writing the epistle to the Hebrews, tells us why. Why was the word preached something that did not profit them? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith. They hadn't faith. They had fear when they saw all the signs God had shown them on Mount Sinai. Earthquake and volcanic eruptions and fire and a loud sound and all together. They had not faith mixed in them that heard it. So all the promises, and the Bible is full of promises, it will not help if there is not trust and love in Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, we read, so the letter to the Romans, this epistle to the Romans, is one of the most important writings ever written. And there we read in verse 3, in chapter 10, in the epistle to the Romans, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Ah, here we see the mistake. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. It's trusting. Trusting our Savior, loving him because he first loved us. This is the important point. In Romans, we have so many important texts. And Paul tries to describe why the Jews could not see through. And he needs chapters and chapters and chapters to show why, what was the problem. And here we have just read it. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, which comes to everyone that believes. Believing, trusting, is only possible if you know this person, if you know the behavior of the other one, if you have experienced the character of the person. You will not fall in love with someone you have never known. You must see, hear, feel, experience, live with this person for some time to see, There is love, there's trust. And then love and trust will be produced in you as a reaction because of the love and trust of the other person towards you. So it's time for studying this love of Jesus he has for you. Summary. When you start reading the Bible, you will find out that God, from the very beginning, was willing to make a covenant with the first pair of human beings, with Adam and Eve. He, the strong one, the mighty one, the almighty one, he took the initiative. And he said, I will make a covenant with you. And Adam and Eve, they were the first ones. But after a few generations, we can see they have left this covenant completely. And God looks around, is there anyone who can I take for a covenant? And he found Noah, and he told him, build this big boat that you can be saved, because a flood will come, which will kill anyone. And in the end, there were more animals in the boat than human beings. That's interesting, isn't it? More animals were saved than human beings. That's crazy. But it happened like that. Only 8 human beings were saved. Although there was a lot of place in there. But they refused to go in. It was not worthwhile for them. The value of the boat they could not see. Because they did not want to see it. They were unwilling to see it. What about you? Yes, we know of Jesus, and he has been crucified, and he paid the price for us, and his blood, this was the price he had to pay for our sins. But this will not help you at all. It will not help you knowing it. If your reaction towards his love and trust in you, if your reaction is not trust and love in Jesus, it will not help you what he has done for you on the cross. It will not help you. Not in any way. So what we need is studying the character of Jesus, following him, discovering, oh, he's willing to make a covenant. Why? Out of love. Out of love towards you. He is the one who takes the first step. He stretches out his arm and says, I want to be together with you. And if you do not react and you just say, yes, now I know it. If someone is in the phase of courtship with you, you say, yes, I know, this person wants to marry me. But if you do not react according to this love, it will never happen. There will never be a bondage, a covenant, a marriage. Wow. It is something 2 parties have to combine. 2 parties. If one is willing and you are not, what's the sense of it? It will not work for you. So Jesus, the Son of God, did everything that you have just to answer to his love. He has shown for you in his life and in the end at the cross. Well, have you already answered him? Have you already done anything to show him? Oh, Lord, I'm so glad that you have done that for me. Oh, thank you. I want to live with you. Have you already answered him? It's high time to act like this. He's waiting for you. What about your answer?